Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We were originally scheduled to have Stephen Myers on talking about the Great Pyramid. He has an interesting series of movies on the building of the Great Pyramid. His website is located at www.thepump.org. And for one reason or another, it looks like Stephen has forgotten to call in tonight. So I am going to try to see if I can get Anthea to call in. We were having an interesting discussion before the show. And perhaps... Actually, what's going on with Trump right now is a little disturbing to me because I'm a Trump fan, and she's got a good explanation for what's going on, because Trump recently launched 60 cruise missiles at Syria, which I don't know what that's going to accomplish. Allegedly, Assad has released gas on these children and killed a bunch of children again, which again makes no sense whatsoever. Anthea has been doing her homework and has a very good explanation for what's going on here. And we were just typing a bit on Skype, and I think I just either got Anthea or I got my original guest. We'll see. Hey, Anthea, how are you tonight?
Hi, how are you doing? So where is your guest? It might be a little late, right?
I'll have to send him an email. He probably forgot. Sometimes if you don't remind him, they just forget. I'm starting to see this to be a pattern that's forming. But this is a blessing in disguise, because you and I were just texting back and forth about this whole thing with Trump, and Trump launching 60 cruise missiles at an airbase in Syria. Yeah. So if he blows up this whole airbase, what does that accomplish?
Well, I guess it's just, showing a little might. But the thing that I don't understand, what for Assad to gas his own people, why?
He was, yeah, exactly.
Why? He's winning the war in Syria.
Sure.
He's taking back towns from ISIS.
Right.
Why would he do this?
Besides, when you hear this guy talk, when he's interviewed, he's a rational, level-headed person. He's not a nutball. He doesn't strike me that way anyway. What do you think?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't sound like a nutball. I was listening to one little interview. Did you watch that video I sent you?
Oh, that was a great video. Now, what's that guy's name? O'Keefe?
Yeah, Ken O'Keefe. Mm-hmm.
Boy,
maybe
that guy's done. I'll try to
maybe
find him. He's done his homework, hasn't he?
Yes. He's very familiar with what's going on. Yeah. He has given up his American citizenship because he has nothing whatsoever to do with the hypocrisy that's going on here and the corruption.
So, according to Ken O'Keefe, what we're seeing here is Zionism playing out, and they basically want to destabilize Syria, Iran, and several of these other countries in order to create a greater Israel, right?
Yeah, this is something that was drawn up, in 1980s. The word is called Oded Yinon. If you also read the Elders of Zion, you'll see the plans in there too. And the whole thing is, if you look at the Israeli flag, right, you see the Star of David in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, David never had a star. That is an occult symbol. It goes back to, yes, it goes back to Moloch, you know, back there when the Canaanites were with their golden calf and sacrificing children in fire to the golden calf, and it was named Moloch, and the word that was used was Holocaust. That was the word that they used, death by fire. So, and of course, now it's used for something else, but yeah, so the whole thing is, you look at the flag, you see the Star of David in the center, and you see a blue line on top, and you see a blue line on the bottom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those two lines represent rivers, the Nile River and the Euphrates. And they believe that all the land between the Nile and the Euphrates is Israel. And if you look at the map, between those two rivers, it's everywhere that we're having a war.
Yeah, I know. So this guy's name was Oded Yinon.
No, it's not a name of a person. It's the name of the project, the Greater Israeli Project.
It's a project. Okay, I see. It was not never a person.
Right.
I see. Okay. But wasn't there a person named Oded Yinon, a senior official within the Israeli foreign ministry?
Well, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. And they just named that after him or something like that. Yeah, maybe you're right.
So this is supposedly a new epic in history. this is what this guy Yinon, or this paper, argues. It says the rationalism and humanist foundations of Western civilization were in a state of collapse. The West was disintegrating before the combined onslaught of the Soviet Union and the Third World. This is some strange stuff. So what we're seeing is Zionism, just basic Zionism playing out.
Zionism, yeah. And if you want to understand that, that would be the protocols of the Elders of Zion. That was Theodore Herzl back in 1890-something, maybe around 1895. He gave a lecture to a bunch to a room full of Jewish intellectuals about their plans, that Zionism, the plans that they had for the future, you know, for the next couple hundred years, what they were planning. And if you you can hear an audio book on that, if you do YouTube, and you can, there is Alex Linder, he does reading of that book, and it's unbelievable. Everything is coming true that was written in that lecture.
So Zionism is a movement to reestablish the development and protection of the Jewish nation, which is now Israel. But Zionism means more than that, because they want this gigantic area of land, correct?
Well, and did you read the part where Ken O'Keefe talked about the Solomon project?
No.
Okay. that's scary. I never heard of it either. I heard rumors of it, but I was hearing him talk about, they say that Israel has, I don't know how much we can talk on Blog Talk Radio about this.
Are you concerned about this, really? Don't worry. I haven't had anyone come after me yet. So.
They supposedly have nuclear weapons. About 118. And I forget the name of where they have it stored. But supposedly
I have heard this before, where they're... Their plan is, if they're overrun, they'll just basically nuke them.
Yeah, they'll take everybody out with them.
Yeah.
They'll take everybody. How much of that is true, I don't know, but you know, I don't think I'd put it past them.
But isn't this rather disappointing that Trump has done this, because it just really has kind of blows my whole opinion of him. Because, I mean, how could you know for sure? How could you be absolutely certain?
How could you be certain of the evidence? I mean,
yeah.
Where's the evidence that this? And now they're accusing Russia of being in on it too. Did you see that?
Of course. No.
That was
on the news.
That was on tonight's news. I was like, the Pentagon is saying that Russia was in on it too. Why? What do they get out of it? Who benefits?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not them. Not them at all.
And why is ISIS celebrating in the street about it? Because this is helping ISIS? I thought we were fighting them.
Yeah, right.
And also, do you know what the evidence is coming in, who's claiming this is all happening, is the White Helmets. Who's the White Helmets? They are an Al-Qaeda group, which is funded by Soros and the British government. If you go on their website, they say they're not funded by any government, blah, blah, blah. And then you'll see them, if you do a YouTube, you look for it, you'll see them actually say, oh, yeah, we're being funded by the Americans, too. So
I've never heard of this group.
White Helmets? The White Helmets?
Never heard of them.
I think there's like a documentary out about, they're supposed to be these, they're like a Red Cross type of thing. They're not supposed to carry any weapons, and not supposed to be political in any sense, and they respond wherever there is, I guess, an attack, and they help the people, supposedly. But a couple of weeks ago, they were given protective suits against sarin gas. But how is that possible when in 2013 the UN inspectors went in and had Assad destroy any chemical weapons that he supposedly had stored? So now they're saying, well, maybe he opened up another lab, because all you need is a teeny tiny little bit to cause problems. Ew, really. And then the UN inspectors went in the last time there was a gas attack. The UN inspectors went in. They discovered that it was the ISIS, it was the terrorists, the rebels, that were bringing it in, smuggled sarin gas and chemical weapons in through Libya and Turkey.
And didn't Assad didn't allow the bankers into Syria, did he?
I'm not sure about that, but I know Russia has a stake in Syria, because he wants the oil, you know, the pipeline. But remember when there was all of a sudden the oil was disappearing and it ended up in Turkey, which was then sold back to the Israelis?
I didn't hear about that. No, I didn't hear about that.
About the oil, because ISIS got hold of the oil fields, and they were they were selling the oil, and then I think it was Norway did a report on it, that they found out it was going through Turkey, and then being sold to Israel at bottom prices.
Bashar al-Assad, he's the current president of Syria.
Who was elected in. It's a secular state. You have Christians there. The mullah who runs there, he's against Sharia law. You know, it's people who have gone there. I have heard talk about it, say it's a pretty decent place, you know.
Right.
There's no
right.
Nobody's being. I don't even know how did this war started. It was just ISIS just going through Iraq and then up through Syria, because nobody was a civil war. What was the exact? What caused this war to start?
Well, I think the president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, was backing Hezbollah.
Oh,
and then
okay.
ISIS was fighting against Hezbollah, and Russia was backing Syria, and Saudi Arabia was backing ISIS.
Yeah.
It's a very, very complicated situation.
Yeah, well, a lot of people suspect that ISIS is really CIA, Mossad, MI6.
Oh, sure. They've probably been bought and paid for by us.
Yeah, they these are foreigners. These are militia that is coming around from wherever. You know, they're not Syrians. They're from wherever. They've been brought in and.
And I think that there is a natural gas pipeline that's being built that really needs to go through Syria and then into Europe.
Yeah, this is what Putin wants, plus the port. He wants the port there.
Right, exactly. So this is just a friggin' mess. Why can't we get... I'm really disappointed in Trump. I
think he got pressured. I mean, look at all the... Since the day he got into office, the neocons, the Democrats, you know, Hitler, I mean, the mainstream media, they've been attacking this guy. He couldn't do anything right. He couldn't do... You saw the vicious attack constantly talking about impeaching him.
He comes
up with the ban on the immigrants coming in, and they fought him on that. I mean, please, everything he was doing, they fought and fought and fought. Then had the filibuster with the Supreme Court, which he got in, so he was okayed by everybody, so he's in, and so. They just fought him, you know, not everything. So maybe he just was pressured and he said, okay, all right, just gave in. But
who knows? I mean, it's
who knows?
Oh, my. So we have this civil war in Syria. Something like 370,000 people have been killed. 11 million people have been displaced from their homes.
Yeah.
And now we're involved in this mess.
Yeah,
and he was
pushing them out. I mean, with Russia's help, they were getting pushed out. He was winning back towns, blah blah blah. I just don't believe he did it. I just don't. And then I think last week, I think Trump said something to the effect that he wasn't going to get involved in Syria. That if the Syrian people wanted Assad out, let them do it. And then a week later, all of a sudden, this happened.
It's very depressing. It's very depressing. You know, it'll be interesting to see what Alex Jones has to say about this. Because to me, if he doesn't speak out against this, then I think that would really make me wonder about him.
Yeah, well, the alt-right... you know, the right wingers, the real far, they're upset about it because one of the things that he campaigned on, Trump, was not to get involved in stuff like this.
Exactly.
He said, I'm going to be a president of the United States, a president of the world. Let me find something that I posted on my Facebook page.
Oh, boy.
This was something that was in a British newspaper a couple of, here we go. Let me read this. This is from, I think, 2013. It's from the Daily Mail, I believe. Okay, U.S.-backed plan to launch chemical weapon attack on Syria and blame it on Assad regime. This is from Mail Online. Where's the date on it? Okay, January 29th, 2013. Leaked emails have allegedly proved that the White House gave the green light to a chemical weapon attack in Syria that could be blamed on Assad's regime and in turn spur international military action in the devastated country. A report released on Monday contains an email exchange between two senior officials at British-based contractor Britam with an M, defense, where a scheme, quote, approved by Washington, end of quote, is outlined explaining that Qatar would fund rebel forces in Syria to use chemical weapons. Barack Obama made it clear to Syrian President Assad last month that the U.S. would not tolerate Syria using chemical weapons against its own people.
You know what's a hypocrisy about this?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you look at it one way, of course, gassing people is a grotesque, horrible thing to do that nobody wants to see happen. But, I mean, if you gas them to death or if you drop a 2,000-pound bomb on them, you know, they're both of those are horrible. I mean, it's part of this is psychological.
The psychological part is showing the pictures of the children. Have you ever noticed that when the mainstream media would do that, you know, show you sad, dead baby photos, you know,
mm-hmm.
to get mainstream media in line with, with the narrative? When you have terrorist attack like in France or today in Sweden, right, they had one, or they have a terrorist attack in Britain, they won't show the bodies. They won't show the faces. I mean, when they had that truck go through that attack in Nice, France,
mm-hmm.
and ran
mm-hmm.
over all those people, and there was children that were run over, and all the photos was they covered up the bodies so you don't see them,
mm-hmm.
right? But in the Middle East, they'll show you when it concerns. They're a narrative, like with the immigration coming in into Europe. They'll show the little boy that drowned on the beach,
mm-hmm.
and everybody be taking pictures. And there's McCain showing the picture of the little boy drowned, you know, laying on the beach. And they'll show that one little girl that the white helmets dragged out of a bombed building, and they'll stick cameras in her face and let everyone see that. And then, of course, with the gassing, they'll show you all the children and everything. This is to, you know, to really get your heartstrings to manipulate the emotions. But
it's
got to
be
don't...
because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, say you kill 100 people with gas, or you drop a couple 2,000-pound bombs and kill 100 people. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, in a way, one is just as has the same result as the other. Maybe the gassing is more painful.
And also it's against the Geneva Convention to use gas. That was outlawed all the way back after World War I because they used to use mustard gas in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
And then in World War II, you know, it was against the Geneva Convention. But, however, it didn't stop Churchill for suggesting it. He wanted to drop mustard gas and anthrax on the Germans. And his cabinet was like, they were like mortified. And they wanted to get, he said, you can't do that. It's against the Geneva. What do you mean? We did it in World War I. Why can't we do it now? So his inner cabinet were trying to talk him out of it, saying, well, if we do it to the Germans, they might do it to us. And the anthrax would make Germany and all the surrounding areas uninhabitable for hundreds of years. And so Churchill's like, oh, okay, we won't use it. But he wanted to use it during World War II on the Germans.
Wow. You know, and this, I mean, again, this is very strange. You're right, we're being manipulated because, I mean, if you kill 1,000 people, whether you used napalm or you used a gas, I mean, yeah, maybe it's more inhumane to gas them. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you still killed 1,000 people. You know, I mean, why on the one hand do we have this gigantic emotional response if these people,
because
you know,
they're showing
die?
You pictures of the babies,
yeah.
The children.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, we're not being rational, I guess. We're not being rational is what I'm trying to say here. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Knocked my headset off. But what I'm saying here, we're not being rational. You know, we're being manipulated, and it's just so crazy. It's all very crazy.
Yeah, well, people fall for it, you know.
I've fallen for it.
What?
You know, before.
You did?
Oh, I have. Sure. Certainly. I mean, I find myself becoming, you know, more emotional when they talk about the gassing. Oh, this is horrible. These people are gassed. da da da. But if you would have fired regular artillery shells over there and blasted the children's little bodies in little pieces, you know, they wouldn't make a big deal.
Well, they did that too when it was a like I said, with the it was a house that was bombed and they take out this child. You remember that and stuck her in the ambulance and everybody just photographed her over and over and over again. You know,
it's a weird world we live in. I'm going to have to sit and think about this a while. It makes no sense one way or another. I mean,
it makes sense to me. I know, you know, I know what's going on.
Well, yeah, I mean, in terms of the overall background plan, I think what you brought up there is absolutely spot on. The fact that the Israeli plan is being carried out to the T. But, you know, I mean, other than that, it doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? To go in there and shoot off 60 missiles. And so you blew up an airfield.
Well, yeah, an airfield. But the thing is, he called Putin before he did it. So that was curious. I mean, I could just imagine the conversation.
He did.
Hey, Putin, I'm going to bomb the airfield. Because they had, Russia had personnel there and their planes there and their radar. So Russia's like, oh, okay, you know, let's pull out our stuff.
They pulled their stuff out then, didn't they?
Well, yeah, and I'm sure the Russians probably told the Syrians, hey, get your planes out of there too. He gave them the heads up. So, yeah. So what was that all about? Why? Okay, you give the Russians the head up. We're going to bomb the area, get your planes and everything out of there, your personnel, and then they bomb it. I don't know. Maybe it's just a show to shut up the neocons and McCain and his boyfriend. What's that guy? His boyfriend.
You think McCain has a boyfriend?
Yeah, that guy that always hanging around him. What's his name? Come on.
Are you serious? I didn't know this. I'm shocked.
Well, it's kind of like a joke. Everybody's assuming.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Well, who's that guy that's always hanging around? Like two peas in a pod. They're always together.
I have no idea.
Come on, you know his name.
I know the history of McCain. He was an F-4 pilot in the Vietnam War, right?
Yeah, he was POW, and he was called the Songbird.
The Songbird, because he would always give in and tell the North Vietnamese everything. And
yeah, he gave up everything, and he was charged with treason, and I believe it was Nixon that, you know, pardoned him.
He was charged with treason?
Yes.
So now he's a senator. Oh, my gosh. What a mess.
Yeah.
What a mess. Well, was he one of the pilots that would drop the napalm?
I don't know. But and there was an incident on a ship where he was fooling around with one of the planes, and something happened with the plane, but it ended up killing like seven guys. He did something stupid, and
seriously?
The plane did something. Yeah,
my
I have to
goodness.
Look it up. Yeah, he was fooling around on a plane, on
the deck of a carrier.
And he was in the plane. He hit something, and I don't know, a flame shot out or something like that, and he ended up killing about seven naval personnel, and he wasn't punished for it. He was just transferred because his daddy was really high up in the Navy.
Oh, I see. And then he went on a bombing run or two or three or four until he finally got shot down. And then he ended up in the Hanoi Hilton there,
yeah,
where they kept POWs. And I heard that while the rest of the guys were being tortured and starved and everything, he was getting, three meals a day, books to read, a shower every day, clean
Graham
clothes.
Graham Lindsay.
Is that his friend?
Yeah, you know who Graham Lindsay is, right?
I've heard the name.
Yeah.
But I'll have to refresh my memory.
Lindsey Graham.
Okay, Lindsey Graham.
They're together like peas in a pod, always together, practically holding hands.
Don't say that.
He's a senator.
Wait a minute, Lindsey Graham.
South Carolina.
Lindsey Graham is that fun boy, right? He's gay, right? I shouldn't say that.
Well, that's the rumors.
He's very. If you hear him and look at him, you usually would say, "Oh yeah, that's a gay person." If I remember.
Oh, here we go. Senator Lindsey Graham calls up to 7,000 American troops in Syria. He wants ground troops to be moved into Syria. Oh God.
How many?
He says
7,000.
Between 5,000 and 7,000 American ground troops to be moved to Syria in an effort to take down Assad.
You know, we keep doing the same thing over and over
and over and over and over again, just like Saddam.
Yes.
And who are they going to put in his place?
They won't find a better guy in the Middle East than Bashar al-Assad. He's articulate. He's rational. He's down to earth. He's intelligent.
Look at Iraq. It's a mess. Look at Libya. It's a mess. When they took down Gaddafi. Look at it. And then it opened the floodgates to all those immigrants just pouring into Europe.
But that's the plan, right?
That's the plan, to destabilize the whole area. And in that way, they could put their puppets in there and finish their little expansion there.
I'm going to have to talk about this a whole lot more on the show and do a whole lot more research because, I mean, this is so transparent. You know, the only people that will be fooled by this are the millennials or whatever.
Yeah.
The people that are 20 years old, they won't know any better.
Yeah.
You know, it's just strange. It's strange, Anthea. I cannot believe we're here at this point in history. I'm stunned by this.
Well, what do we do? I mean, how do we stop this?
I don't know yet. I've got to start. One thing we can do is we can educate ourselves, and thanks to you, we're all a little more educated now. And then we can talk about this some more. And spread that knowledge, and because this is quite strange that Trump would do this. This does not fit into.
Well, I guess he had to prove to everybody that he wasn't Putin's puppet, because you know he's been accused of being, you know, paired up with Russia. Oh, he's a Russian puppet. You know, all that stuff has been going on, right? So maybe this is his way of proving, hey, look, I'm not a Russian puppet. I'm not controlled. I don't answer to Putin.
Well, this will be interesting to see how the far left will spin this now. Because really,
oh, they're happy about it. You
know,
Hillary's like, oh, you know, this is something that Hillary would have done.
I know it is. It's totally Hillary. My goodness. You know, David Icke was saying at the beginning of all this that that eventually Trump is going to be just like the rest of them. And
Well, it has to, because, you know, the deep state. The people that we've been talking about are the deep state, and they've been in there for hundreds of years. Of course, they have. I don't know if they're 100 years old. I mean, except for maybe Kissinger. How old is he? About 300 years old?
Pretty old.
Oh, my God, are they ever. Rockefeller just kicked a bucket not too long ago. Now we're just waiting for George Soros.
Well, you have an interesting perspective on Hitler that a lot of people probably wouldn't be aware of. Did you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, a little bit. Well, you know, I started, I saw this this documentary. I don't know if you've watched it. Yeah, it's called The Greatest Story Never Told. It's 6 hours long. It took me a week to sit through it. But it was like, oh, my God. And it just like, oh, my God, this makes so much sense. And then I started doing my own research. I started taking books out and doing my own research and studying up on the Bolsheviks, the Russian Revolution, World War One, World War Two. David Irving, I recommend his books. You go on YouTube, they give talks. And
maybe I have seen this movie you're talking about. Is this the movie that says that the reason that Hitler went into Russia is because the global elite were afraid of the people in Russia because they had rebelled against the czars or something like that, right?
No, he was fighting communism. He was fighting communism. He kicked them out of Hungary. There's so much to talk about it. But Russia was right on the, where do I start to begin? But Russia had their guns pointed out from, not in Russia, out, because they were about to invade Germany. And they were ready to invade France. And
the Russians.
Hitler knew what was going on in Russia. He knew about the Bolsheviks. He knew about the gulags, 20 million between, what was a year? It was between 1938 to 1939.
You're talking about Stalin, right?
Stalin or Lenin too, all of them. I mean, the revolution was in 1917. Lenin, what was his real name? Trotsky was his, I forget his real name, was Bergenstein or something. It was from Brooklyn. They weren't even Russians. The Bolsheviks. They weren't even Russians. They were foreigners.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. They were from Brooklyn?
Yeah, Trotsky was from Brooklyn.
No
way. That's not
his
real. Yes, way. And they were financed by.
That's crazy, man.
You thought they were Russians?
Well, with a name like Trotsky, it kind of sounds Russian.
No,
know.
He changed his name. Let me see if I could find his real name.
Oh, my goodness. It was probably George Smith or something.
No, it was something. Let me get it. Trotsky.
From Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's funny. The world has gone nuts. But I saw a movie very much like you're talking about, and I thought it was called The Greatest Story Never Told. And this guy explained
Leon Trotsky.
That.
His name was, here we go. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Lev Bronstein. His real name is Leon Trotsky. His real name is, his last name is Bronstein. And he was
he's Jewish?
Yeah, he's Jewish. He's the first child in a Russian Jewish family. I mean, but he was Brooklyn. He was from Brooklyn. He was in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And he was financed by the Schiff, S-C-H-I-F-F, the Schiff, who were bankers, the family, and the Rothschilds, and the Wahlbergs. And he went into Russia. And
The movie that I'm thinking of is called 2015 Unfortunate Truth, JFK 9/11. And Beyond the World We Live In.
No, The Greatest Story Never Told is 6 hours long. It's by an English. Yeah, because he goes through everything. There's a lot to talk about. I mean, there's a lot of info. And it's like 27 chapters. Each one is 15 minutes long. And
we'll dig up that URL and send it to me. So I'm going to.
I did. I sent it to you, and I sent it to you on Facebook a couple of times.
Well, you got to send it
to
me.
It's been banned. It's been banned on YouTube. You can see it on YouTube, but I don't like the version they have on YouTube, and it's not high quality. So you have to go to his website. His name is Dennis Wise, W-I-S-E. He's an Englishman.
Boy, this sounds white hair guy. White hair, right?
I don't know. He has white hair. I've never seen what he looks like. I've is a very sick British accent. You really have to pay attention when he talks. But it's a six-hour
I haven't seen a six-hour version. The movie I saw that I always thought was really good always said that, you know how the Russians, they rebelled in the Russian Revolution and they toppled the Tsar Nicholas II. And the Russian Revolution.
That was the Bolsheviks. They murdered the families because they wanted to get rid of the, Christianity. They were Christians. They were the Romanovs. I was reading, or was it somebody reading an auto book to me about the Elders of Zion, that they took them down into a room. They took them down into a room saying they were going to do a family portrait. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to go into a basement. Okay. And it took them down into a basement, and they were executed and written, right? There's a picture of their bodies laying there and written on the wall behind them or these letters in Hebrew. Written three times across, three times down, so about nine times, and it was a Kabbalah. It was an occult ritual that was performed.
Well, tell us more about the Kabbalah and these occult rituals.
That's all I know is that it used the Hebrew Latin. I don't know. I never studied it. All I know is the Kabbalah is a book that came out of when the Jews were slaves in Babylonia back then, and it's a magic. It's a book of magic, actually, the Tree of Life, and the Sefer is on it. You know, the fallen angels are on it.
Do you think
basically it's Lucifer worshiping?
Do you think these global elite are Satanists then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. Do you think they're into pedophilia?
If it's part of the ritual.
It just depends on the ritual, right?
Well, I'm not really an expert on it. I know Stuart Swerdlow has talked. As a matter of fact, Stuart Swerdlow talks about his great uncle who was one of the Bolsheviks who... Excuse me?
I got Stuart on the show May 10th, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'll remind him so he doesn't forget.
Oh, really? You got him on? Wow, good.
May 10th. Okay. Yeah. You got to go like 2 or 3 months ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Well, he travels a lot, but his great uncle was one of the Bolsheviks who ordered the assassination, execution, whatever you want to call it, of the Tsar and the family. The Romanovs.
You have done a lot of research on Stuart. I got his book up there that I read. I'll have to find it. I got so many damn books. But when he went through some of the Illuminati rituals. And go ahead.
Yeah. That's what he says. Yeah.
I wonder about, you know, he was really frank in that book too, because he was involved in some of their sex rituals and things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever remember him talking about that?
Yeah, that comes out of Wilhelm Reich. You've heard of him, right?
Oh, yeah.
That he's, he's all into that sex ritual stuff too. He talks about it. You know, the energy from the orgasm and so on and so forth.
Well, Stuart, I think he must have had... There must have been something special about him that the elite would have him involved in these rituals. And it was always with red-haired women too, right? I mean, that's part of the thing.
Well, yeah. Well, one of the things, I don't know how much I can say on your show, but... I might have to talk to you privately and see what I can tell you.
I don't care what you say, really. Say whatever you want. Whatever you feel comfortable with, it doesn't matter to me.
I won't. I'll talk to you privately about that.
Okay. But the red hair is part of the whole thing.
Well,
it's
white, Caucasian. Blonde hair, red hair, green eyes, blue eyes. In other words, Christians.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a satanic attack on Christianity some way?
Yeah. That's what, what's his name, Goldstein, who, the porno industry is run by
Jews.
You know?
Jewish.
Yeah, okay.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
What about Edward Bernays? Does he fit into this whole picture?
Bernays?
Do you remember Edward Bernays, the guy that did the, he was like a social engineer, I think they called him. And he got everyone, you know, to do certain things.
Franklin School?
Frankfurt School.
Yeah, well, who do you think manned that, too? And that was all about mind control and programming. I wish I could find these things that I was reading it over the past couple of days, quotes from, I'm bad at remembering names, where he said that they realized that when you traumatize somebody, you can split their personality and create...
Sure.
And create an altar, and you can do mind control programming that trauma, you can control their mind that way. Now I'm always hearing, oh, the Nazis were into mind control and programming. The mind control programming, the monarch programming, and all that comes from them. And I have looked and I have looked and looked and looked for anything written where they had something to do with this. You know, like David Irving was a historian who went out. He went out to the field. He would go to Moscow. He would go to even to America. He would go to Austria, to Germany. He would go to the archives, to the British archives, and pull out documents, because the Germans were very good at writing everything down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one who found Joseph Goebbels. You know who he is, the
propaganda
minister of Germany at that time. He found his diary. It was like 8,000 pages that were sitting in the Moscow archives. And he found it, and of course it made the news, you know, and a lot of people were pissed that it was David Irving who found it, but he found it, and he's written a book. You know, if you go to his website, you could see all his books that he's written. And he became interested because when he was a young man, he went to Germany to work in a factory because he wanted to improve his German, and he learned about Dresden, what had happened on February 13th, I think it was 1944, Dresden, and nobody knew about what Dresden.
The firebombing?
The carpet firebombing that Churchill, because Churchill believed in killing the civilians. He believed that if you're killing the babies and the wives and the sisters and the mothers of the soldiers, that the soldiers would turn on, on their leaders and not fight. This was his mentality. So he would bomb farms, he would bomb hospitals. He specifically targeted civilians for that reason. And he wrote this he wrote this book on Dresden. Because he didn't know about it. He's like, I'm an Englishman, it's only like 10 years after the war. How come I don't know about Dresden? And he wrote this book about Dresden. And that was kind of like his key, because nobody else had cared about it. And he was able to get into Hitler's inner circle.
No, the guy you're talking about.
David
Tell
Irving.
Me his name again.
David.
Say his name.
David Irving, IRVING.
Okay.
And because of that was his first book, was on Dresden. Because he wrote that book, the Germans that were still alive, that were part of Hitler's inner circle, were opened up to him, because they would not give interviews. They wouldn't talk to anybody, but they would talk to David Irving. And so so he wrote books on the subject. It's just a really eye opener that you're seeing a different point of view. He goes to the archives. He says that's the type of historian I am. Most of us historians, and I have to agree with them, they'll go to the library, these college professors, and they'll take 10 or 20 books down, and they'll copy from this book and a copy from that and this and this and this, and that's how they write their books.
Yeah.
You know, But not Irving. He goes out on the field. He goes out and goes to the archives and comes across these things. And there's a lot of stuff still sitting in Moscow that have not been revealed yet. You know.
So, again, from the perspective of this research that you've done, the reason that Hitler went into Russia is because Hitler believed that Russia was going to attack France and Germany.
It was Operation Barbarossa. Yeah, he had already kicked them out. You know, had Spain. They were kicked out of Spain, Mussolini out of Italy, Hungary. And he knew what was going on in the Soviet Union under Bolsheviks. He knew about the gulags. He knew about the starvation of the peasants. Stalin had taken, forcibly took all the grain and from the farmers, and they were starved. And total of 20 million altogether, you know. And if you were hoarding any of your food, any corn or wheat, you were executed. They tore down all the churches and synagogues too, because it was communism. Their religion is the state, you know, is the state. So you have no religion. So they killed the priests. They killed nuns. When Hitler, the Germans' army, marched into the Ukraine, the Russians were happy to see the German soldiers. They came down and greeted them and fed them and blessed them.
Wow.
Yeah, and then, of course, unfortunately, Germany was losing the war, lost it with Russia. That was their Achilles heel. The weather, you know, Stalingrad was really their downfall because they weren't prepared. Apparently, they had gone into Russia a little too late. They should have gone in 2 months early. From what I understand, Hitler had gotten sick with dysentery, so he was not able to, coordinate the march into Russia. So that delayed them, and by doing that, they ended up in winter time. So they weren't prepared. They weren't dressed for the winter.
Hitler got dysentery. I'd never heard that.
Yeah, two months before he already had determined that he was going to go into Russia. I think it was in the spring, and he got sick, so they had to wait for him to get better, and it took a while, and then they went in, but they should have gone in when, you know, originally 2 months earlier. But that made a whole difference because it ended up with them being stuck in Stalingrad. Because they should have gone straight to Moscow is what they should have done. But no, they had to go to Stalingrad. They had to go here and they had to go here. And so so they were losing that war, and they started to retreat. And the Russian people were like, oh, no, you can't leave us here. And they were leaving with the Germans. They walked with them. They jumped on their tanks, whatever.
Seriously, I've never heard that part of the story.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yeah, they thought that Germany would get rid of the communists and communism. They weren't happy under it. You had the collectivism, you know, you know what communism is like, and people getting thrown in the gulags. Oh, my God, yeah.
Amazing. Goodness sakes.
Yeah.
I often say if we really knew history, we would clear up so much of our problems right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing was they were lying about what was going on in Russia to the American people because we allied with Stalin. But Churchill and the president and Woodrow Wilson and and Stalin, the unholy alliance here, you know, they used to call Stalin, Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe.
Yeah, Churchill referred to Stalin as Uncle Joe. but the American people didn't know what was going on with in Russia with the gulags and people starving and being executed. They didn't know. They kept it. And what was the name of that? There was a journalist, Walter. I hear an echo.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Why am I echoing? Why do I hear my voice coming back to me?
You sound great on this thing.
Oh, what was the name of that? He was a famous journalist, and he won the Nobel Peace Prize for his reporting on Russia. And he said, oh, Russia is fine. Everything's happy there. Everything's going. Walter Cronkite. No, that's not the name. Oh, God, what was his name? See, I told you I'm bad at names.
No, don't worry.
I have to write all these things down if I'm going to talk to some about something because I forgot his name. But he was
totally spontaneous. Totally.
Yeah, I know it was spontaneous. But he won an award for writing an article. I think it was for the Washington Post about Russia being this wonderful place and blah blah blah. Nothing was going wrong. Meanwhile, it wasn't. It was hell. It was hell on earth that was going on in there. You know.
I had never heard that the Russian people were trying to leave with Hitler.
Yes, I swear to God. I was surprised, too, because we've been taught, you know, something different. And when I'm reading this, there's a woman from Ukraine. It's an old YouTube interview. I think it's from the 1980s. Where she's talking about, she was a child in Ukraine. She says, oh, my God, we were so happy when the Germans came in. We thought we would be free from communism.
Oh, my God.
Because he was fighting communism. People don't realize that, and the bankers.
Yeah. The bankers, I think, that was one of the big things. I think the bankers were afraid of the Russian people.
No, bankers were financing the Bolsheviks. The Rothschilds, they were financing that.
But I think they were financing it, exactly. I agree. But I'm talking about the people that the Bolsheviks were basically killing was the Russian people, right?
Yeah, and the intellects. They wanted to get rid of all the, professor, anyone who had an IQ over 100, you were executed too because they didn't want you to be too smart.
Right.
So they were getting,
right.
Just like in Vietnam, when Pupé, he had the killing fields, all the teachers and the poets and people who wore glasses, because if you wore glasses, that meant you read, they were all executed.
My God.
You remember that, right? In the killing fields.
Oh, yeah, the killing fields. Yeah, yeah.
When the communism took over. Yeah, that was one of the things. And also in China, when General Mao took over, you'd get rid of the intellects, anyone who's smart, who's read.
What a world we live in, Anthea.
Yeah.
It's just disturbing.
And then you see people like during those protests when Trump was running his campaign, and you would see people outside protesting, and they'd be waving the communist flag.
Like they know what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing, right?
Well, I don't know. It's been indoctrinated by their Marxist professors. They make it sound like it's unicorns and rainbows. Oh, yes, everybody will be equal. Everything will be – No, it doesn't work out that way. That's how it's easily corruptible. There's no such thing as utopias.
Well, Anthea, I appreciate you coming on the show. We've gone a whole hour. Boy, what I'll do is I'll retitle this show and put up a different image. And I think this is the beginning of a longer conversation.
Yeah.
I think
I'll be better prepared next time. Make sure I get all those names and dates correct, you know.
And please send me that link again, and I'll try to watch that movie again, if you can find it.
No, I can find it. Just go to...
The Greatest Story Ever Told.
TheGreatestStoryEverTold.tv, I think, it'll take you to Dennis Wise's site, and you scroll down, and he has all the chapters. And it's 27 chapters, 15 minutes each, and it took me a week to go through it all because it's 6 hours. But
yeah, you want to just take your time. You can go through it slowly and absorb it, and that'll be great.
Yeah, And then I'm like, oh my, that was the beginning of me saying, okay, there's more to the past, our history, than we've been told.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Anthea, and thanks everyone for listening. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I'll be back on tomorrow. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.